I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome to the NFL!
Welcome to the NFL, rookie.
What's happening, guys? Happy Sunday before the NFL draft, and welcome to the Dynasty War Zone, the People's Dynasty podcast. On tonight's show, back by popular demand, it is our guy, Nino Brown. If you're not following Nino on Twitter, and I can see his Twitter account, man, we got to triple that from this episode alone. He's at underscore Nino Brown underscore. And he's doing big things over at the CFB Nation. Nino, my man, welcome back. Thank you for coming back.
Oh, appreciate the opportunity. It's always fun when we get to chop it up, my man. And it was good last time. I know I might have said some spicy things, got to ruffle some feathers, but I'm back to keep it going. So,
well, I'm excited to have you because you don't cookie cutter your takes. You don't say what everybody else says. I mean, we were just talking about, you know, our collective age and how long we've been watching football, and you really look at this thing from a very unique perspective, and I think it's one that people value, and I think it's going to be a tremendous benefit to our listeners. So, and that's whether you're listening on the Dynasty Warzone channel or on the Player Profiler channel. We would just ask that you subscribe everywhere and make sure to follow Nino and all his work. So no Jerry this week. Speaking of the word work, Jerry is training a new hire at his gig. So Jerry will be back next week. The draft will be over. A lot to talk about coming out of the NFL draft from a dynasty perspective. But speaking of YouTube, I'm going to be at the Draft House. So me and about 17 other people affiliated with Player Profiler, we're all going to Detroit. Well, the burbs. We're going to the outskirts of Detroit. We're going to have like 18 people, the Podfather, Matty Kiwoom, Larky, Carpentier. Dude, we're going to rock this thing, and it's going to be live on YouTube. So mute the draft, watch the draft on TV, and then check out our live feed. But Nino, while I got you here, I want to ask you about a couple of pop culture things. You good with that?
Let's go.
All right, so just for those of you that like always, like, you know, in the review say we just want more football, hit the fast forward button like about 8 times, and you'll probably be to the football. But over the weekend, I took in the remake of Roadhouse. Now Roadhouse, because like I said, I'm in my 40s. You know, there's just no way around it. And when I was growing up, Roadhouse is a cult classic. You know, Patrick Swayze was awesome in that role as Dalton. And then here we are all these years later. We got the remake with Jake Gyllenhaal. I voiced my displeasure with Roadhouse, the remake, on Twitter this morning. But what are your thoughts? Because you're a little younger than me, but I know you've seen the original.
Yeah, I've seen the original. And that was like the beginning of the Swayze phenomenon, right? You had a Roadhouse, Point Break, Ghost. It was all, here we go. Here he is. He's the new hot throb. Yeah, you know, but Gyllenhaal did okay. But oh my Lord, Conor McGregor was just a travesty with his swollen face, trying to talk, trying to act. It was just so bad. I couldn't. I made it three quarters of the way through, and I'm like, I'm done with it. I couldn't deal with him. It just, he has such poor act. He was literally carried by Gyllenhaal. And Gyllenhaal was kind of like, I want to say out of his realm a little bit, but it's not something that I would have expected him to kind of be in. He put on a little size for this one, huh?
he looked, well, from like a physical standpoint, he looked phenomenal. But right. To me, my issue with it is we tried to turn Roadhouse into Fast and the Furious. With all the explosions and
pyro and
and Fast and the Furious is literally, it's a superhero movie. It's like one step below the Avengers.
What are they?
You know, with like the Rock, yeah, like the Rock punches a submarine. That's the world we live in with the Fast and the Furious. And like, why do they keep doing this to Patrick Swayze? The Point Break remake was absolutely as bad as Roadhouse was. The Point Break remake was 10 times worse. And the Red Dawn remake wasn't bad. But, man, let this man rest in peace. Let Patrick Swayze rest in peace. And don't ruin any – like I don't want to see – what was the one with the Dirty Dancing?
No, we don't put Baby in a corner.
You don't put Baby in a corner? Everybody knows you don't put Baby in a corner. But speaking of a corner, we're going to shift away from bad remakes of movies. And I want to ask you about a documentary. Speaking of rewriting history, that's now if you're watching live on YouTube, you look in the background and you notice some New England Patriots, you know, fandom, some memorabilia, if you will. And I asked you before we hit the record button, man, I was like, hey, what are your thoughts on the Dynasty documentary? Because it feels like they're burying my guy Belichick.
Oh, yeah, there is some serious hurt feelings by Mr. Robert Kraft for sure. I don't know what. Something happened somewhere. There was an incident. I know it was a string of them, but there was one that happened between both of them where it just went south, and Robert decided that this was his way, amongst other ways, to kind of just air out his grievances with Belichick. I mean, it's just all one way. Former players have come out and kind of voiced their opinion. You know what I mean? You haven't heard guys like Asante Samuel say anything to back Belichick, because he'll never will. But you're hearing guys that, you know, McCourty's leaders in the locker room, Matthew Slater's kind of like, I don't understand. It wasn't really like that. That's not the guy that we knew. That's not the situation, how the situation kind of went down when we were there. And then, like, kind of just seeps out more and more. I told you a little bit in the green room, like this whole Atlanta thing, like Kraft reaching out to Arthur Blank saying, don't trust him. He can be deceiving, and that's kind of how we made him out to be in this documentary. Was like he had no trust in Belichick. That Belichick went to the beat of his own drum, you know, and in situations he made those you know decisions on his own with no communication. It's like, come on, man! Like you guys are a team. When you were winning, it was all gravy, baby. It didn't matter what he did. It didn't matter that he brought on Adelius Thomas's big money and cut him after half a season, right? It didn't matter that, you know, he brought in the headache that was Randy Moss for a couple seasons and kept him in check somewhat. And didn't matter that he was able to do that stuff and get you know, six championships. No. When everything went south, he didn't like what he did. And now you're going to air him out and make him look like, you know, a dirtbag. I lost respect for Robert Kraft. I really did.
I get that there are divorces in the world. and that, you know, some divorces are amicable. Some are a bitter breakup. But it feels like Bill could maybe be the one who's bitter. I mean, he brought you six Super Bowls. And the value of your franchise, it's probably very valuable anyway. But the Patriots are a premium brand now. And they weren't. I'm old enough to remember when the Patriots weren't a premium brand. And those six Super Bowls brings a lot of cachet to that team. And we talked about it again earlier. You know, as a defensive coordinator, the game plan that he wrote for the Super Bowl against the Bills, that game plan's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Belichick's a great coach. And that documentary was an absolute hit piece. Not a fan. I love Bill Belichick. He's a curmudgeon. I can kind of dig that. But we want to get into these rookies, because we've only got you for a little bit of time tonight because you're doing double duty. You're going from our live stream to someone else's. We'll let you plug that here in just a second after a word from our friends at Underdog.
This episode brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy has been sponsoring Player Profiler and everything we're doing here since 2020. Sign up. Use promo code UNDERWORLD for a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. 100% instant deposit match up to $100. And you're like, oh, well, you know, everyone's on Underdog. Not true. There's plenty of people in this audience that have not yet tried out Underdog, and it's time. They're adding more sports. They're adding more contests. Like when we're heading into NFL draft season, there's the rookies and sophomores game. When you think about way too early fantasy football, that's what Underdog is. When you think about best ball, that's what Underdog is. And if you can pick players at the end of an Underdog fantasy best ball draft that are under rostered, that few people are picking at all, and that guy, like Kyren Williams, hits, you will likely experience positive returns. All you need is that one guy at the end who no one else is rostering, and the way to find that guy is to listen to us. UnderdogFantasy.com. The promo code is UNDERWORLD. 100% deposit match up to $100 with promo code UNDERWORLD. Underdog makes everything we do possible.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Most certainly does, like the Draft House this coming weekend. One thing, so this is a Q&A, and I've already got one question lined up in the chat. I have some questions for Nino for the first part of the show, but I will be doing my best. Is it Dov McClingman or whatever it is? That guy, he aggregates. I'm going to aggregate your questions as you ask them so I can ask them to Nino for you. So the first half, I have a couple of questions for Nino. Back for the second time. You know, let me hit you. Oh, you know what? We got to do good people, bad tweets.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
I almost went right into the show. I'm like, I missed that note on my show sheet. So I didn't necessarily find a good people, bad tweets, but I found a very interesting tweet. Now, you know who owns X/Twitter?
Elon.
Elon. I heard another podcast call it Twix. And I was like, that's not bad. That's not bad. But he owns X, and he came out with a tweet the other day that was very polarizing. He said that they are horrible paraphrasing here, but they're going to do a much better job of eliminating engagement farming, and they're going to root it back to the source. Now, I'll just tell you my opinion on this real quick. I think that's fantastic because I believe the engagement farmers, you know, it's like you can't put ketchup on Kyren Williams. What are you putting on him? It's like, that's, you know, it's kind of a mixture of a football and a very standard, yeah, and a very standard engagement farming tweet. But I think it's going to help guys like you, guys like me. I don't post engagement farming posts. I never have. Nope. I try to, when I do tweet, I try to put out actionable information, things that I see, things that I feel will help your dynasty roster. And you do that. I think you're very good on Twitter. What are your thoughts on if Uncle Elon actually cracks down on the engagement farming?
Yeah, I'm all for it. Let's get rid of the nonsense. I mean, like, what would people be doing right now, right? Because this is like silly season in the draft. All the click me takes and all this stuff, you know, it would be nice and peaceful heading up into a nice, you know, event. You wouldn't be, you know, oh, Marvin Harrison is in the top five, and just the stuff to get clicks. Get rid of it, eliminates it. Just if you eliminated a quarter of it, we'd all be happier. You know what I mean?
I mean, if I know people hate Elon and Twitter since he took over. I dig it, but if he could get rid of the porn bots,
please,
and the engagement farming, it's for what we do with news and quick turn information, and also too, I mean, it's also very doom and gloom, but like, it's a great place to get updates on the news, what's going on in the world besides football. So if he can clean it up even 25%, to use your number, I think we're all dead ahead. So didn't see a take so bad that I was going to make it a good people, bad tweets, but I hate the engagement farming in the fantasy space because it doesn't help anybody. It clogs your timeline. The engagement farming, in my opinion, and we'll wrap this up on yours, is that it clogs the, because you have your people that you follow, and then you have the for you. Well, I don't mind the for you, because, you know, you might find a new person. Like, you're not, maybe you're not following Nino yet, but you might see Nino in the for you. But you might not ever go to the for you because you can't handle the engagement farming and all the other crap. So if they can clean that up, I think it would be tremendous.
Yeah. I've kind of steered away from the for you, to be honest. I just do the following because that's the reason why I follow you, those people. You know what I'm saying? So and the engagement farm kills me. I'm also so sick of, oh, there's a comment. And then you go and look and it's nudes in profile. Mama, let's not go on rankings in profile. You know what I mean? That's going to be my comment back. You want my right? I'll engagement farm right back at you if I have to, if Elon can't clean it up.
Yeah. Rankings in bio. I love it. So we got to end with Dana White. That them's the rules. I think this one makes the most sense because, you know, engagement farmers.
Federal prison. Federal fucking prison. If you're that fucking stupid and somebody else wants to do it, knock yourself out. There's not enough money in it.
I think some people would you know, might argue the money, but that was good people, bad tweets. Let's get into the questions. We got about 40, 45 minutes left with Nino. I want to ask you, we were talking about this earlier. It's like, what are you making of the sudden hesitation or the shots or the questioning of the value of guys like Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr.? You mentioned the guest, R.C. Fisher, just in full transparency, we're not talking around the subject. He was on with the Podfather, and he was the guy who was very right last year when he said Rashad White would score more fantasy points than Bijan Robinson. But he said that he didn't have Marvin Harrison Jr. in his top five. And then there's these questions about Caleb with, is he competitive enough? And what are your thoughts? Is it just people running out of takes a week before the draft?
Yeah, I told you, it's a silly season to me. And hey, like you said before in the green room, you go to the well and you hit, you kind of don't keep going back to the well, right? You take that pot of gold and you run with it. And I don't know if that take would have hit if Bijan Robinson went somewhere besides Atlanta last season. I think we would have been having a whole different
head coach not named Arthur Smith.
Yes, we would have been having a whole different conversation right now. But to have Marvin Harrison, I don't have him one, and you know that we've had this conversation already. I have him two, but to have him outside of the two is absolutely insane. Like, he's going to be a guy that's going to go out there and get you 6 to 9 catches, right? Probably anywhere between 75 and 90 yards a game. It's just what he's going to do. Get a touchdown here and there, and probably end up with 8 to 10 at the end of the season. That's what it's going to get you. But I just, for me, Neighbors just has a little bit more of the explosiveness, a little more wow to him at certain things that he does. Like, he just, his tracking of the ball, it's unbelievable. But Harrison has box checking abilities. He has it all. Did I not have this guy? Like, to say that Xavier Worthy would be better than Marvin Harrison is absolutely insanity. I just don't even understand where you could justify having him out of the one or the two slot. Like, Brian Thomas Jr. should, or even Rome, should not be ahead of Marvin Harrison. It's just silly season. It's what it is, Randall. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. And I think the thing that people are understanding, not only is Marvin Harrison, like you said, he's some people's one, some people's two, and I think that's fine. You know, some people like Chick-fil-A, some people like McDonald's, some people like chicken, some people like beef. They're both the same thing. They're both a sandwich. What are you in the mood for? Yeah. What hits your palate? But Marvin Harrison Jr. could wind up, if the Cardinals can't trade out, he could wind up being an Arizona Cardinal, which, you know, they're not a highly rated team with the with like the players. They do the player report card thing at the end of every season. But his quarterback would be Kyler Murray. You know who throws a really good deep ball? Yeah. Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
I just think we're missing that. And then what if he slips to five and the Chargers can't trade out? Now, I think the Chargers are going to go Joe Alt, but do you pass up on a Marvin Harrison if you can't trade out of five? I mean, what's the worst his quarterback could be? Daniel Jones?
When that's healthy, bad, though. But that's bad.
That's bad, but Daniel Jones is okay.
Is he the quarterback, though? Is he even going to be the quarterback for the whole season?
Could he slide to, I don't think he will, but could he slide to 7 with Tennessee And then they'd have Hopkins, Ridley, Marvin Harrison Jr.
He likes it. They've interviewed him multiple times about Tennessee. He's met with Tennessee multiple times, and he likes Tennessee. He's made it very apparent that he likes that landing spot. But let's rewind this a little bit.
Okay.
You said the Chargers are going to take Joe Alt?
That seems to be the draft rumors that I hear. Like, if you go to, like, we're not sponsored. If you want to go to a sports book and look at a sponsor, go to BetMGM Grand, promo code Underworld. There's, we used to use them when I did the gambling show called The Juice. So I know we have a relationship here at Player Profiler with BetMGM Grand. Again, code word Underworld. But if you go to these sports betting sites, you'll see that that's the odds on favorite for Joe Alt. Now, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Who's he throwing the ball to? They got rid of everybody.
Josh Palmer season, baby.
Oh, okay. So I'm a fan of Josh Palmer, but I don't believe that he's a one. And you as a Tennessee guy, you got to admit that he's not a one.
No, he's not. He's I always say some guys are Batman and some guys are Robin. And he is clearly a Robin level.
He does well at it.
Yes.
He's a good Robin, you know?
I would love it if they did. Like I think Malik Nabers, from a guy who has a lot of Josh Palmer in Dynasty, it would be like a kick in the junk. But I think Malik Nabers plays more of a game similar to Malik Nabers and Josh Palmer than Josh Palmer to Marvin Harrison Jr. So I would kind of like, and that's the same thing way I feel about Michael Wilson in Arizona. You got the big body guy on the outside and Michael Wilson. Malik Nabers makes a great combination with him, Trey McBride, and it gives Michael Wilson some hope. So I don't want overlapping skill sets.
No, I understand it, but Josh Palmer could be a Brian Thomas. Like that style, right? Like he's played that deep ball, right? That contested catch guy. I mean, he does eat over the middle, but like,
yeah, that's what I want. I mean, and that's why for Dynasty, I really like Malik Nabers, because you know what's the modern day wide receiver one in fantasy? It's Justin Jefferson. It's CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that volume. Cooper Kupp 2 years ago when he caught 2,000 yards. That's what I want as a dynasty GM. I want the guy that I think is going to be hyper-targeted. Now, if you want, I don't mean this to sound bad, but I think Marvin Harrison Jr. could wind up being, depending on what offense he lands in, he could be very much like a better prospected version of DK Metcalf. And there's nothing wrong with that, where he makes a bunch of big plays, but he just never gets the volume. I feast on volume in dynasty, and I just don't know that he's going to get 10 targets a game. He very well could, but again, he winds up in Arizona, good quarterback, but Trey McBride's going to eat. So what are your thoughts? And then we'll move on to the next question, because I want to get to some of these listener questions.
I think if Marvin Harrison ends up in Arizona, like, yes. So what are they going to do? There's no run game. James Conner is an old dog, right? And they got him for maybe another year or so, but they haven't gone out and got anything spectacular. And they're not going to get one this year early. They're not going to probably draft one until maybe third or fourth round, because they're going to need a lineman. They need a receiver, right? Is Hollywood's gone. Rondell Moore. It's Michael Wilson is the only legitimate. People want to say Greg Dortch, please. Let's not have this conversation. Okay. He's a luxury guy. He's not a starting guy. Marvin Harrison would automatically command 8 to 10 targets.
I hope you're right. The landing spot for Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers is really going to break that tie. I still believe from a prospect, I know we don't have any measurables, but I still believe from what I've seen and his size and everything, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best prospect since Calvin Johnson.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean he's going to be Calvin Johnson.
No, not at all.
It just means he's going to be really, really good. Let's jump to the quarterback position for a second. Okay. We talked a little bit about Caleb. Have you heard the rumor that Jaden Daniels is trying to tank his stock so that he can fall to the Raiders and reunite with Antonio Pierce, who I guess was a linebackers coach or a position coach during his 6 years in college? You know, a lot of guys go to college for 6 years. They're called doctors. But anyway, We'll jump back to Jaden Daniels. Are you buying any of this? Because I heard that today, and I was like, I've got to ask Nino what he thinks about this.
So I have read that he does like the Raiders in Minnesota, and that he was pissed off with Washington that the visits weren't just him, because he was on the impression that it was going to be him as the guy for the Commanders at two, and there was nobody else coming in to work out and talk. And then they brought in May, and they wanted to bring in everybody else. And he's like, oh, what's going on here? I thought I was the guy, and I'm not getting treated like the guy. I don't know if he's trying to tank his stock, because going from two to what's the Raiders?
13. Raiders are 13. Current mock draft I'm looking at is Olu Fashanu.
That's the $15 million difference, I would say, in guaranteed money.
Which is wild. I mean, but you know, quarterbacks, especially like in a market like Vegas, because think about it. I mean, if he were to go to Washington, D.C., that's a pretty high tax area, mm-hmm. whereas Las Vegas has no state income tax. So, like, I know in Indiana, like, given whatever you make, it's like 5-6%. I mean, you're making a $50 million. It don't take long for that to add up to some real money.
Could he pull an Eli?
Is he that good? Can he pull that kind of a move? Does he have that? I could see Caleb Williams having that kind of stroke to be able to get away with that. But I can't see Jaden Daniels.
I'm just saying, was Eli that good coming out of college? Did he have the season that Jaden Daniels had coming out of college? The Heisman year, the 5,000 total yards, the 50 touchdowns. I don't think so. I think Jaden Daniels can hang his hat on a hook a little bit more than people are actually, you know, giving him, you know, the respect about. I'm not saying he's going to do that. I don't think the kid is that way. But I don't know if he would. Like, to me, that would be the people around him would be guiding him in the wrong direction.
I would agree. Which franchise do you think's more dysfunctional? Mark Davis and the Raiders, or now that Dan Snyder's gone and Josh Harris owns the team, which would you prefer to go to if you were, say, wearing Jaden Daniels cleats?
So, like, I get the reunite with Antonio Pierce from Arizona State. That's where he was a positional coach. That's where Daniels started. The dysfunctionality as, like, ownership, I would say right now, has to be the Raiders. There's a changing of the guard in Washington. We haven't seen them do anything stupid yet. Actually, we've actually seen them try to make the team better in free agency so far. And I think they've done a pretty good job. I don't know if owners will be as dumb, because I think the guy that got the job as the head coach is kind of like a no-nonsense guy. So he's not going to deal with this shit. He's probably going to say either you're going to let me do my thing, or I'm going to walk. And when I walk, I'm probably going to take a lot of these guys with me, whether you like it or not. So I think the young man in the office stairs, you know, is realizing I can't be like my dad. I can't be dumb, and I got to kind of just let the guy that's in command do his thing. I got to still have my hand in it, but not be the puppeteer, you know?
Jerry Jones, for whatever you think about him, I know he's super involved in the day-to-day operations of the Cowboys, but he was a super successful businessman before he bought the Dallas Cowboys. That's how he got the money to buy the Dallas Cowboys. Whereas Mark Davis, just, you know, lucky sperm club, you know, his dad was Al Davis, and he, you know, I think he was the only child. He inherits the team. So it's different. Yeah. But yeah, I think I would rather go to Washington. I mean, do you want to go battle Mahomes and Herbert
twice
a year? And you know, Sean Payton's gonna find a quarterback. Got a couple more questions for you, and then, like I said, we've already got several lined up in the chat. I want to get taken care of. Who's the wide receiver for today in Dynasty? Obviously, you mentioned Adunze, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers. Those are the big three. But who is number four today for you before landing spot? And will landing spot flip-flop that for you?
In rookies? You're saying in this rookie class?
Yes, sir. This coming class, yeah.
I'm the guy that's probably going to be different than everybody else. It's Brian Thomas Jr. for me. And sometimes I put him ahead of Rome at three, to be totally honest with you. I just the physicality, the contested catch. He does have that speed to break away at the end. He can create separation. He did it with an alpha on the side of him, right? He's a red zone threat at all times. This kid has, you know what I mean? And people are going to say, oh, well, you know, he had Nate. Look at the numbers, man. Just look at the numbers. He wasn't like, you know, just super targeted and Nate just got his. They would target the same amount. This dude just was just this much different than Nate. He's just that much below him in that next tier where it's only him and like maybe one other guy anyway. So that's elite level, you know, competition. This kid has like everybody's looking for. I always said, don't let Kansas City get this guy in the first round at the end. With this Rashee Rice stuff, don't let Kansas City be able to either get him at the end of the first round or trade up somewhere in the teens to get this guy. Bad news for the rest of the league if they get him.
I'm hoping he lands in Baltimore so he gets lost in the sauce there in the Baltimore. But because I have a good friend of mine. He's, I think it's the Purple Army on Instagram. He's a big Instagram guy. And, you know, he's always talking about what wide receiver are the Ravens going to draft. I'm like, I don't know. As good as I saw, it was a Ryan McDowell tweet that as good as Lamar's been, he's never produced a top 12 or AKA a wide receiver one for a season.
Hollywood Brown.
I don't
know. 1,100 yards?
No. But I'm talking about from a dynasty, from a fantasy football PPR standpoint.
Oh, yeah. He might have been just outside the top 10.
He probably was like 15, 16. Yeah, but yeah. I trust the information coming from McDowell. All right, I got one last question for you. And then we're going to jump into these listener questions. Okay. Are you concerned at all about Brock Bowers not doing any of the athletic measurables? Because it feels like he's still working back from that injury that he picked up at the combine or what have you. Do you have any concern?
You see the guy doing backflips?
Yeah, but like I mean, it's not a gymnastics contest, though.
If you got concerns on your injury, you're not able to land backflips with the greatest of ease like that.
Well, I'm a pretty nimble big fella. I'm not backflip nimble, but I'm fairly nimble.
I've been on multiple pods, and I've already said I don't believe that he's generational. Okay, I'm sick of that word, to be told totally honest.
Man, if we can banish another thing from Twitter, the word generational would be at the top of the list.
Yeah, that and Konami code quarterbacks. Take both of those and throw them in the trash, please.
They're retired. We're going to retire on this podcast. Nino has made a declaration. We're retiring Konami code. We're retiring generational from this point going forward.
I think he's going to be a good tight end, okay? But like, I feel like we kind of had this similar conversation about Michael Mayer's like less than a year ago, right? He was supposed to be this generational guy, super athletic, could do it all. Yeah, Bowers is probably better, but I feel like we keep trying to find this, the next Kyle Pitts, right? I feel he came out, broke the mold, and now everybody's trying to find the next one or the one that's better. Do the measurables concern me? Not at all. Is Caleb Williams not releasing his medicals concern me? Not at all. I feel like these guys are the Kobe Bryants, the Michael Jordans of their class.
That was very well said. I had to think about how I wanted to respond to that. Well, listen, something I was part of that I'm really proud of because I don't write anymore. When I first started doing fantasy content like 8 years ago, I was doing a little bit of article writing. But I wrote up a piece in our rookie guide, the Player Profiler Rookie Guide, on my man crush, my boo in this class, Mr. Drake May. But let me have you give your ear a minute to the Podfather to tell you about the rookie guide.
It is NFL draft season and the wait is over. The Player Profiler Rookie Guide is available. It's live on the site now, right there in the nav bar. Click on the 2024 Rookie Guide to download it. It's so comprehensive. We're ranking and writing up more players than anybody. And this year, we're providing athleticism scores. We're doubling the number of advanced stats on each player profile. And guess who's back? Cody Carpentier. But it's not just him. It's Theo. It's Matty Kiwum. It's John Lobb. And the Undroppables. All coming together to provide their composite rankings. And this year we're adding Superflex Tight End Premium because that's now become such a popular format. So get those composite ranks, get the write-ups, the comps, the stats and metrics you want. If you already have Dynasty Lux, you already have it. But if you don't, it's right there in the nav bar on playerprofiler.com. It's $20. It's not the first. It's not the most expensive, but it is the best.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I would just say this. I am very proud of my contribution to the rookie guy. Just get Dynasty Deluxe. You get a book. You get access to the site, and it's like $45. So you literally get the rookie guide. The book itself's $10, and that gives you access to it. Just check it out. But I don't want to waste any more time because we've only got Nino for about 23 more minutes, and he's got – where are you appearing at? If you're watching this live at 8:30 on a Sunday night, where are you going to be here in a half hour?
I'm actually going back to my old stomping grounds. I'm going to be on with my buddy George at Toilets and Titles. We're doing a Sunday roundtable.
George Reed. Draft.
Yeah, George Reed.
George Reed, good people. Indianapolis guy, if I remember. Now, he's a Dolphins fan, but I think he lives here in the Indy area, you know, doing good stuff with our boy Sheps over there at Toilets to Titles. So if you're streaming live on YouTube or X, jump over to the Toilets to Titles feed as soon as we're done here and check out more Nino. All right, let's get to these questions. We'll go through them as fast as we can. I do want to get a couple of previews for the 25 class.
Okay.
So we're trying to shove a lot into this last little bit. But let me put T-Bone's question up on the screen. He says, Superflex, half point PPR, tight end premium, trade Justin Herbert and the 112 for Anthony Richardson. Might not be enough for the manager. Is that enough or too much for Richardson? I also have Bryce Young and the 103, but am targeting Neighbors with that pick. So, Nino, what do you think? Because I'll tell you a trade that I had involving Justin Herbert here in just a minute with Anthony Richardson.
I think Herbert and the 112 for Anthony Richardson is robbery. The guy who's getting Herbert in the 112 is winning that deal.
That's a crime.
Yeah, call the cops. That is so bad. I think it should be the other way around. First of all, it should be Anthony Richardson and probably the 112 for Justin Herbert.
Somewhere
in that realm, maybe, you know, a high end second, you know what I mean? But somewhere in that vicinity.
I literally said a trade that I just made with my buddy. This is the Aussie guys. I traded Anthony Richardson and the 110 for Justin Herbert and a third, like the 302 or something like that. I am not letting this Justin Herbert going to bring me down. Their defense is going to take a while before it gets good. He's still going to pass the ball. He may not throw it 50 times a game, but you know what? He may not get broken in half.
Exactly.
I think Justin Herbert, if I remember correctly, he's broken like every passing record of the first 4 years of their career that belonged to Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Dude, the kid is really good. And I know there's concerns about the weapons, but the really good quarterbacks, the Mahomes, the Allens, the guys like that, they don't need Tua needs Tyreek Hill and yes. Jalen Waddle. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert will be able to make things happen. I think he's a stud. I would not personally do that deal. And I absolutely love that you have Bryce Young.
Yes, he's underrated.
So you and I love him with Dave Canellis. You know, he resurrected Baker's career last year. And so I think there's upside there. But that 103 is such a great spot to be in, T-Bone, because you get to kind of like lay back and see what happens. You know, Caleb's going to go one. And then I think if like a Drake May gets traded up to and drafted by Minnesota, because I love that landing spot so much, maybe you want to add him as your third quarterback. But maybe Neighbors is there. That 103 gives you so much flexibility. I would not get rid of Justin Herbert. I'd keep that 112. I'd pick up an extra wide receiver there. Maybe the second best running back in this class. You're giving up way too much, T-Bone. You agree, hey, Nino?
I agree. I'll tell you something I might think about here is instead of you getting robbed, let's try to flip the script and rob the other guy. At that 103, as the draft is playing out and as you're watching, what's to say you can't take that 103, trade back to the 105, at a mid-second. So now you're going 105, 112, and say 205. You're talking about, you obviously look like you're a team on the rebuild. Now you're having three stars possibly for your team that are going to be putting up points on a regular basis. And you might still get your guy at the 105. Depending on where those quarterbacks land, someone might go, you know, Caleb, Drake, Daniels, and Marvin Harrison, and then you sit at the 105 with your guy.
And having Bryce Young and Justin Herbert already as your quarterbacks, it makes this draft, you're like the Arizona Cardinals. You can let the draft come to you. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone wants to go up at 103 because they fell in love with Drake May and where he goes, and you can go back to the 105, and then someone else falls in love with Brock Bowers because it's tight end premium, and you can move back to the 108, and you're just picking up seconds or like a 2025 first, you're able to do what the Bears did last year and spin that 103 into a treasure trove of picks that you can really, because no matter how good these rookies are, no matter how much Nino and I like them, at the end of the day, there's still a risk factor in all of them. And the more lottery tickets that you have to scratch off, the more likely you are to get a couple of hits. So I would not do that trade. But there you go. Let's get to this next one, Nino. ATX Baker at maybe it's a collab. Maybe it's at and Baker. I was offered two late seconds for the 2.3. What do you think, Nino?
Okay. I need more context here.
Yeah, I do too. I'll give you my answer real quick, Baker. If it's a one QB league at the 203, then I'm happy to take the two late seconds.
Yep.
If it's a super flex tight end premium, I really want the 203 because there's going to be a lot of good players. The five quarterbacks could be gone. You could get a Bo Nix there if you need a QB. You can get a Michael Penix there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of value. I would wait and see what I could get on draft day. That's what I would do. Now, like I said, in a one QB, when I'm just looking for multiple, put the odds in my favor. I would. In a super flex tight end premium, I would not.
It would. Like I said, I need more context because if I was good at quarterback in this was my draft and I was solid. Depend on where these lates are. If you're talking, you know, 211, 212, yeah, there's no way in hell. But if you're giving me maybe 208 and 210, there's a conversation that we might be trying to have here. If I don't need a quarterback, because there's going to be some big value at the end of the second round in these wide receivers, it's going to be runs, right? It happens everywhere. People get, I'm going to miss out on my guy. Got to go get it. And then boom, boom, boom. Now there's four or five wide receivers going off the board, or three or four running backs. So that 208, 209, 210, those could be hits that are plug-and-play guys. So if I did need a QB, I would have the conversation, but I'd have to know what your roster looks like.
And for me, you know, 203 is going to get very interesting if Michael Penix winds up being a Raider and mm-hmm. Bo Nix winds up being a Bronco. I mean, both those teams have good offensive pieces around them. I know Cortland Sutton's a little sideways about his contract right now, but they've got Marvin Mims, they've got Javonte Williams, they have Cortland Sutton for now, and then the Raiders, you know, they've got Adams, they've got Mayer, Jacoby Myers. So those would be good quarterback-friendly spots, and that 203 in a Superflex tight end premium might be what you want. And if you don't need a quarterback, again, wait.
Right.
Your draft picks only go up in value until they're actually on the clock. So if you're considering this at all, just wait until you're on the clock. Then you can make some deals. Let's go to the next. The next question comes from Jeremy Allsbrook. And Jeremy says, if Baker, and I'm assuming he means Javon Baker, if Javon Baker goes top two rounds, so the top 64 picks in the NFL draft, what would you think about taking him at 203?
Rough. So I don't know. I have Baker and Malachi Corley in this box of like, I just have them as one trick ponies, and it's very difficult for me to put my eggs in that basket. I don't see them being drafted. What do you have in the second round? Is that what he said in the NFL?
Yeah. Day two, I guess the second round of day two.
So day two is second and third round, right? So he could possibly go third.
Right.
Round. Yeah. I mean, it would probably be later in the third round, but like these guys are just like, to me, in my opinion, one trick point. Malachi Corley is just that physical guy. Can't run a route tree. Everything's got to be short. You know, his 8 hours, 5.6 or something. Everything's very close to the line of scrimmage, and he has to use his physicality. Not every guy he lines up against in the NFL is going to be more physical than him. Baker, yes, he has a great catch radius and he can out-jump you. He don't have the best route tree either. And if he gets jammed at the line of scrimmage, there goes his, you know, physicality factor out the window and his catch radius.
And 203 is probably too high in a 1QB format, much less a tight end premium super flex format. I think he could probably would be a prop appropriately priced at like the 303, like a full round later. Even with good good draft capital to a decent spot that we like, I don't think that he would ever give you the return on investment. And if you really want him, similar to the trade that the Baker asked a little bit ago, trade back from the 203 and get like 208 and a third and maybe a future second for someone who wants to come up. And then if you want to reach for your guy because you believe in Javon Baker and you want to get him at 208, God bless. Go get him. I just couldn't advocate for that because I'm just looking at like a list of wide receivers. And, you know, Javon Baker is about the 10th or 12th guy on this list. And I think that's pretty fair. I think that's pretty fair given the talent at wide receiver in this class. So we'll jump on to the next one. Koa and Kai, Superflex, just traded Jordan Love and the 204 for Jalen Hurts. Thoughts, is this too much? I also have the 205 and 208 in that round, as well as three in the top six.
Wow.
I think you're okay.
Here's my thoughts. Is it with all these picks in the top six, Randall? Right? Like, so you have somewhere one in the first round, right? That's what it means by the top six.
You're gonna get at least another quarterback there if you want. So you'd have three.
Kept Love though. Like,
you know, here's the thing, and this is my thought on this trade for Koa by Kai. And it's, listen, Jalen Hurts has QB1 overall in his range of outcomes. And as much as I like Jordan Love, and I've been a Jordan Love advocate since he was a rookie, I thought he was a great stash in Superflex leagues. And finally, he rewarded me for having that take. I don't have a problem with you adding a 204 to go get a guy like Jalen Hurts, who could give you 15 rushing touchdowns a year, is attached to Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert in a very friendly offense. I don't mind it. I don't think it was a huge price to pay. So if you want one of those top three to five, which I don't think Jordan Love will ever crack that range, a mid-second is not bad. And I'll double that down with having five. See, so if it's a 12-team league, so you would have five of the top 18 picks in this draft. You'll be able, you did not give up too much to get a guy who has QB1 overall on the season upside.
No, I don't think he gave up too much. And just if it was me, in my respect, I would have just kept Love and I would have taken three in the top six and went 204, 205, and 208 for the draft. Or maybe I would have packaged them for, you know, I'm going youth at this point. If I have the youth picks, I'm just going to stay young. Love has less tread on the tire here. You know what I mean? And we only have 1 year of him producing. This rumor is that A.J. Brown could be on the move, right?
I know he took down – I heard the Patriots. I heard he was like complimenting Bill Belichick or something. And it's great, but if I'm the Patriots, I'm trying to get younger, and not that A.J. Brown is old – but like the Patriots are a prime candidate to trade down and let someone come up to get Drake May or J.J. McCarthy and just keep stacking those picks, because I don't think the Patriots are going to compete this year. But I don't know. I do like Hurts, though. I mean, I like Hurts more than I did 2 years ago because of the rushing floor just makes him super safe.
All right. And now they're going to be changing up the running backs. They got Saquon. So we'll see. Maybe Saquon will eat into those rushing touchdowns. But as far as A.J. Brown, he also followed K.J. Osborne and Jacoby Brissett on social media. Okay.
That was the tie to New England. I knew it tied back to New England.
And I've been an advocate of trade back of the three because you're not ready. There's so many holes. But if you can get A.J. Brown without giving up the three spot, I don't think A.J. Brown's worth the 103. What is he? What was he traded for Treylon Burks?
119, 118.
It doesn't get better. It's going to get worse, right? So
I mean, he didn't get 3 years older.
Say trade a second rounder for AJ Brown and draft your guy at the top. Now you have a pro receiver, a guy you can develop a quarterback with, right? For at least that first contract.
I think the Patriots are going to get ahead of the Cardinals and get ahead of the Chargers in this draft market, because if they don't love whoever the third quarterback is, whether it's, you know, May or Daniels, whomever,
right?
If they don't love that guy, it's someone else is chomping at the bit to go up, especially an NFC team. Like if Minnesota wants to come up to three and you're not going to have to face that quarterback once a year, twice a year, depending on where you trade him to, I could see New England doing that and trying to maybe band-aid it for a year. Or maybe they think they can get Bo Nix at the top of the second round and they're going to give him a year on the bench behind Jacoby Brissett or hand it off at Thanksgiving. I don't know. But
Rattler,
in the
fourth.
That is your guy. All right, he had a follow-up question. And we're going to go for about 10 more minutes. I'm going to get Nino to his next podcast with George. Another question. If you have the 105 or 106, would you rather have – so basically what he or she is asking is in the 105 to 106 range. Basically, Nino, would you prefer Odunze or Bowers in a tight end premium?
Bowers.
I would lean Bowers, but I'm in a league where we have to start two tight ends. Like, it's a must. And it's 2-point tight end premium. So I hope this GM's not listening. I'm working on a trade that would involve me getting the 102 and the 105, but he has the 104. And I think that he thinks that if I get the 102, then I would take a quarterback or Marvin Harrison Jr. In this format, I am going to, if I get this trade done, I am going to take Brock Bowers, number two, behind Caleb Williams, because I'll have that fifth pick at the five, hole. I'm getting either Marvin Harrison, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels at the 105. So I think he thinks that if I let him keep the 104 and take the 105 in the deal, that he's going to get Brock Bowers at four. No, sir. That's not going to happen given the format, but yeah, tight end premium there. You got to go with Bowers. And I'm not I was the anti Kyle Pitts guy. Now let me ask you a question. What if you could trade back to a spot for someone, and let's say maybe you had the 105 and you could go back to the 106 and maybe get like a Michael Mayer? What if you could, you know, move back one spot so someone else could get that, and you could wind up turning that pick into Michael Mayer and Rome Odunze? How do you feel about that?
I'd do that.
I think I would too, because I don't think there's, and this is not a shot at Brock Bowers as much as it is showing love for Michael Mayer. And I think Michael Mayer this year has just as much an opportunity to break out as Brock Bowers does as a rookie. And there's not like this ginormous age gap in between the two guys. Now, I know there might be a perceived talent gap, but Michael Mayer was a darn good tight end at Notre Dame. I saw flashes last year.
That gap might not be as big as a lot of people think. The talent gap.
All right, we got about 5 minutes here. Let's get a couple more. We'll lightning fire. Corey Walters, by the way, what's up, Corey? You're always in the chat on Sundays. We appreciate you. What if the Cowboys don't draft a running back in the first or second round? I have news for you. I don't think the Cowboys are drafting a running back in the first or second round. I'm already there. I think that their offensive line needs a lot of attention, and their defenses could use some help too. And I think that in this class, I would much rather take a shot at like one of the guys later. Doesn't mean that they won't get run. This is why I've been on Rico Dowdle. So I don't think they're going to take one, Corey. What about you, Nino?
I would be shocked if a running back comes off the board before somewhere in the mid second to late second. And I just don't see the Cowboys taking a running back in the first or second round. I mean, I could see them taking a running back, you know, third round, a guy like maybe Audric Estime. You know, that guy kind of seems to fit.
Your guy, Bucky Irving, is a fit in day three or day, I mean, day, third round, fourth round. I think he's a good fit because you got, like I said, you got Rico there now. Mm-hmm. I don't think Deuce Vaughn's ever going to be a thing. And I think your boy Bucky could do pretty good there, you know, given that split role with a Doddle. Sorry, I said Dwaddle last time and someone corrected me. Doddle, Dowdle. I understand how it's spelled.
I like my guy that I'm really a big fan of, and I think he's kind of falling by the wayside. I was in the barbershop. My guy knows ball, and he was like, yeah, nobody's really talking about this guy. I haven't really heard him, and it's Will Shipley. Will Shipley has the opportunity to be like a baby CMC in the NFL. In Dallas, bro, he's shifty enough to play that, like, that RBB, that running back by committee with your guy Rico, right? But he's also powerful enough to take it. He's averaged 5 yards per carry for three straight years at Clemson. Like, last year he got hurt, so he missed a couple games, but he's a receiving threat. He can pass, bro. This dude's got juice, man.
Don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure it was Ray Garvin, and I love Ray GQ. Ray is as real as real gets. I think Shipley's his RB2 in the class. I think it was Ray. If it wasn't Ray, it was someone else that it was someone that was prominent enough, and I respect their opinion enough, and that's why I think it was Ray that had him as two, and I was just like, okay. Eyebrow raised. Last question, Nino. We'll get you out of here and get you ready for your appearance with George. This is Be Cool. This is a good one. So 10-team Superflex traded away 101 and 203 for the 103 and Dak.
Yeah, I would never have done that. In my opinion, Caleb Williams, if he doesn't have a better season this year, he'll probably have a better, you know, fantasy season than Dak from here on out. That drop off from the 101 to the 103 in Superflex and from, you know, Caleb to the other two quarterbacks, that's why Caleb's in a tier by himself, in my opinion. Dak's in, like, what, tier three? And this did the modern NFL?
But I will say this for Be Cool, from a dynasty or from a fantasy football standpoint, Dak's going to be in that 5 to 8 range every year. And that's kind of where we want Caleb to get to. And does he have QB1 overall upside? Sure. This would really come down to your roster construction, but you didn't hurt yourself. Because you got, if you walk away from this draft with Dak and Neighbors, or Dak and Marvin Harrison Jr., as opposed to Williams and whoever you would have got at 203, maybe a Brian Thomas, maybe a Xavier Worthy type guy, but
he gave up the 103, right? Didn't he have?
No, he gave up the 101 and 203, and he got the 103 back along with Dak. He got Dak and the 103. I'm not going to be mad at a guy for walking, or I'm assuming Be Cool is a fella. Cool fella. I'm not going to hate on someone walking away from a trade with Dak Prescott and his choice of whoever's left over of Marvin Harrison and Malik Neighbors. I think you're going to come out of this with a pretty good choice.
What if he needs a quarterback? What if Dak's his only quarterback?
Well, that is true, but I think Dak's going to give you another 3 to 5 years, and you're hoping, like I said,
won't be in Dallas.
This is true. All right. I literally got one last question. This is my question. And guys, I tried to get to as many in the chat as I can. We'll open this up for more questions and trade questions next week when Jerry's back and we have all the landing spots are figured out. Real quick, you can just give us the names, and this will give them the incentive to follow @_Nino_Brown_. Give us your top quarterback prospect, running back prospect, and wide receiver prospect for the class of 2025 that will be draft eligible. Now, like, you may like a freshman or a sophomore who won't be eligible for next year's draft, but of the guys who will be eligible, who's your QB1, RB1, and wide receiver one?
My QB1 is Connor Wegman, Texas A&M. He's been my QB1 in this class from the day he walked on campus. He has every intangible that you want. Every QB trait you need checks all boxes off platform throws. He's cool, calm as a cucumber in the pocket. He can make those, you know, mouse hole throws over the middle. He can make them deep throws. He make those perimeter throws with ease. He can throw the fade, the back shoulder fade. He has it all. He had an injury last year, but before that, he was dealing three straight games at 300 yards before he got hurt. He had 8 touchdowns in 3 games. He's that guy. At wide receiver, many people will say, Luther Bird and Evan Stewart. And as well as I do like both of those gentlemen, I planted a flag on this kid. And when he walked on the campus at Arizona, that he was going to be the guy. And T-Mac, a.k.a. Terrell McMillan, is my wide receiver one in this class. He's about taking another step. And you can read about it and even talk about it everywhere on XSA, saying whether he likes it or not, the eyes are about to be on this kid because he's that good where he can surpass both of these gentlemen for the wide receiver one in the class. Just plays out in Arizona. People really know who he was or hear about him. It's not the SEC. You know what I'm saying? He's got it. Him and Noah Fifita have had a connection since high school. That is his quarterback at Arizona. He is balling out. His body control is crazy. His catch radius is crazy. Just go watch some film, and you might be in the same box as me as he being your wide receiver one in the class. Now, my running back one, I like Amari Hampton, and I like Damian Martinez. You know, depending on where he goes, where he lands in this portal, will sway me. But I like Ollie Gordon. Now, I know we only see 1 year of him getting, 200-plus carries. But this dude was a physical specimen, averaged like 6 yards per carry. He does not drop the ball. He's a 3-down back. He can run in between the hashes. He can run outside and break away from guys. He has the physicality, the kind of play like a Derrick Henry, where he can stiff arm you and throw you to the ground. Like I said, he checks boxes. I like running backs that check boxes. The size is there, 6 foot, 205, 210. Those are my guys. I think Ollie Gordon another year will show you that he's a top back again in the country.
And Nino is my guy. Please check out his work at the CFB Nation. Check him out. Give him a follow. One of my absolute favorite people to chop it up with because he 100% keeps it real. And I like your style, man. We'll let you get out of here. I know you have other commitments. Thank you so much for squeezing us in. We've been looking forward to this. And when I say we, I mean not only me because I like hanging out with you, but our audience. And, they wanted more Nino. Check him out, and you'll have all the Nino in your life. I'll see you guys Thursday from the Draft House in Detroit with the Player Profiler crew. But until then, we'll see you next week, guys. Enjoy the NFL draft.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. Many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us, and take Player Profiler to the moon.
When we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday, and if we win one today, that's 2 in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.